It's probably time to clean up, put the kitchen bouquet away, and all the other spices that come out just this time of year. Wonder if there's any pumpkin pie left. I'll come over to your house. Hi, this is Cy Kellett, the host of Catholic Answers Live, and we are having a pleasant Thanksgiving conversation. At least I'm finding it very pleasant. I don't know if you're finding it very pleasant, but I am. Thanksgiving conversation with two of the leaders of the apostolate here at Catholic Answers. One is the editor of Catholic Answers magazine. You should get Catholic Answers magazine. It's really easy to get. There's a website, and it's this, CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com, and you can subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine. You won't be sorry you did. It's always got great articles every time. But for me, my favorite part is the back of the magazine where there's short answers to questions because I don't have a long attention span. And you can get like, I don't know, 30, 40 good apologetics answers to very interesting, sometimes slightly quirky questions about the Catholic faith. So anyways, Tim Ryland is his name. He's the editor. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Cy. In fact, the next issue is our 30th anniversary issue, which is pretty significant, I think. And it's going to be maybe your favorite part will be different this time. There's a long article about the history of the magazine, some reminiscences from some of the people that were in it in the early days. And it's great. Plus, Bishop Caggiano has a wonderful article.
So if you subscribe now, you would get the 30th anniversary edition.
If you subscribe by the first week of... Actually, by this week, it's got to be the end of this week for you and able to get the January, February issue.
CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Oh my gosh, I just thought of something though.
Yes.
It would be a nice Christmas gift.
Wouldn't
for somebody.
It?
I got you a subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine.
Wouldn't it?
Well, how did you do that? I just went to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. It's very easy. Just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. That would be a conversation people would have on Christmas morning. How did you get Catholic Answers Magazine for me? I went to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. I foresee that being a conversation.
We do make things easy. How did you get me the School of Apologetics? SchoolofApologetics.com.
I know.
It's like, how much easier could it be?
You're right. What a happy Christmas that would be, too, if you got the CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and SchoolofApologetics.com. Look who we're making happy with this conversation. Our other guest this hour is the president of Catholic Answers, who loves us to give out the websites, Chris Check. Hi, Chris.
How are you, gentlemen? I think that people should subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine for the same reason that they should do the School of Apologetics. And I'll just say what I said in the previous hour. If you're a grown-up Catholic and you've been confirmed, you have an obligation to defend your faith, to be able to defend your faith and to do it and to evangelize. That word's in canon law and it's in the catechism, obliged. And the great thing about the magazine is it's an effortless course in apologetics. Comes to your mailbox, you read it, the articles are accessible. It's not, what do we want to say, too academic or anything like that.
Right, it's popular.
Yeah, it is. It's popular and it's beautifully laid out. And the quality of the writing is first rate. And you're going to learn your faith while you're doing it. So get a subscription for yourself and get one for someone who needs to learn his faith. Maybe someone who is sponsoring someone to be confirmed. Maybe someone who teaches the confirmation class. Maybe it's the eighth grade religion teacher or your pastor or someone you know in the seminary.
That's a great point, yeah.
Because we can all get better at defending our faith.
Plus, it looks really cool on your coffee table. You know, next to your Cosmopolitan magazine or Bon Appetit or whatever else.
Did you just say Cosmopolitan?
Cosmopolitan.
That joke fell really flat. Yeah.
Bon Appetit is fine. Cosmopolitan is a terrible magazine.
We're going to get the emails.
I can't believe you even said that on the air.
We're going to get the
Why
emails.
Why do we invite him? Why do we invite him to be
if they come. What is Cosmopolitan? I've never heard of that magazine.
I was talking
it's a drink.
About the
Cosmopolitan
drink.
Is a drink.
About the drink.
He meant next to your Cosmopolitan.
Oh,
you're having a Cosmopolitan.
Yes.
Because I followed up with Bon Appetit magazine, so clearly I was
clearly
talking
you're
about
sipping a Cosmopolitan.
Sort of an Epicurean experience.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Like people have just had with their tryptophan.
By the way, it's not beanbag here in this studio. We play hardball, man.
Boy.
You better not slip up.
Yeah.
You better not slip up. I have something else to be thankful for. Can I share it with you? Or
yes.
Did you guys want to throw one in before I do?
I like yours so far.
All right. I am thankful for the fire department of the city of Paris.
Ah.
Amen.
You think they did a good job? How much of it burned?
I'm judging from your tone of voice that you think I should be more critical of the fire department of the city of Paris.
I'm speaking from ignorance.
That was kind of mean.
I just know a lot of the cathedral burned, so that's all.
All right,
I'm
of
saying.
Course, what we're talking about is the fire department of the city of Paris.
I'm sure they did a fantastic
job. At great risk to their lives, in some cases, saved Notre Dame Cathedral from collapse when it caught fire.
Stories of individual heroism of men running in to rescue the Blessed Sacrament, preserve relics, including the sections of the Crown of Thorns that are kept there at Notre Dame. Some stories of magnificent heroism. And may the we'll ask Our Lady's intercession here especially, but you know, the eldest daughter of the church is what we call France, because after the collapse of Rome, the church needed a political authority to hitch her wagon to, if you will. And they found it in Clovis, who was kind of a rough guy, but you know, it was a start. And then Charlemagne, of course.
But to be a king in those days, you kind of had to be a rough guy.
You had to cut somebody in two with an axe every now and then.
Man, it just got graphic in here.
Well, I think that's what Clovis did, right?
Did he do? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and Charles Martel and folks like him.
He's a tough guy.
Keeping the Saracens at bay there at Poitiers. But in any case, the eldest daughter of the church is France. And there's a beautiful line in Hilaire Belloc's book, Survivals and New Arrivals, he talks about France. And of course, he's writing long after France has descended into the post-revolutionary mess that she and the rest of the Western world are in. But he says, there's still a perspective that France gives you on the world. He refers especially to a French newspaper. There's a perspective that France gives you on the world that you don't get from any other European country.
Oh.
And there is something in France. Our Lady, as Father Hugh points out, has appeared in France more than any other country.
I take that to mean they needed it.
And that her favorite language is French.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the very, very unusual story of Joan of Arc.
Oh, Joan of the wonderful Joan of Arc, yeah.
Which is wonderful. But it is a very strange story. I mean, I love her dearly. I really do.
No, it is. She's a strange person.
Yeah, it's very unusual. And so, so there's something going on in France, and may it come back.
Praise God, may it. Yeah. Did you get? Did either of you see a possible allegory or metaphor in this burning of the cathedral?
I think many people looked at it that way, certainly.
How'd you see it?
Faithful Catholics. I don't know. I haven't given it deep thought.
Well, you're clearly critical of the French firefighters.
Well, just kind of a priori. Critical of French.
Yeah, the not having any sprinklers in a building full of 800-year-old wood, really? What were these people thinking? But that's not the French fire department. Go ahead.
Is that true? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they didn't have proper fire suppression equipment up in the attic of the thing.
Well, I think at a minimum you can certainly look at it as there was a great outpouring of faith and love and people, you know, singing hymns.
Yeah.
As they watched it burn and so it brought out, I think, some of the best, and then the donations that came in worldwide.
Yeah,
just within a month, they had enough to okay, you can stop now. We've got enough money.
Right.
I think there's something fairly profound in that as to what Notre Dame means to not just French Catholics but Catholics around the world.
It is the world's parish church, as my friend Tom Piatek said. Si, there's something interesting at work here with Notre Dame, and it's the same thing that's at work with treacly Christmas music and at work with Fred Rogers. And all of these things find their origin in the second person of the Blessed Trinity and his incarnation. And the fact that, as we celebrated last Sunday in the new calendar, that he's the king of the universe.
Yeah.
And in fact, this is why our conference next year is on Jesus Christ, because the world gets but does not get that Jesus Christ is the king of the universe. So all this outpouring about Notre Dame and this profound cultural symbol that Notre Dame is, there's a reason that it is. It isn't just some guys got together and built a really magnificent and beautiful building. That did, in fact, happen.
No, right.
But there's a reason why they did this.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, many of the magnificent cathedrals of France, especially where I think the most beautiful churches in the world are. But there's a reason for this. There's a reason we play a month of music between now and Christmas Day. Right? And it's not, and there's a reason that Fred Rogers was the person that he was. And all these find their origin in Jesus Christ.
In Christ, yeah.
Yeah. And please God, may France and the world come back to this recognition.
But as part of that incarnation, of course, in the middle of it stands our Blessed Mother, our Notre Dame.
Sure.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, her great, yes.
She's necessary.
She's necessary in the incarnation itself and in the salvation. Just the key. Couldn't happen without her.
Right.
Yeah.
And her fiat. Yes. What a great thing to think about every day. We have a picture of the Annunciation. It's a reproduction of a Fra Angelico in our kitchen at the Czech house. And that, okay, it's not making total sense to me, but whatever you say.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
Honestly, if we would all just say that, we were talking about providence in the first hour.
That would be it.
It's not making perfect sense to me, but whatever you say.
Yeah.
May that be our prayer in the coming year.
Amen to that. And thank God that that Notre Dame is still standing.
Yes.
I think it has tremendous challenges ahead.
Well, please God, may not the moderns get a hold of, I know there's some quarrel about the redesign, right? Or the
of course there's going to be. Yeah. Right.
From what I've read, that's not going to happen. I mean, it seems like there, even in this day and age, that the consensus is no, we don't want to put anything else but what was there before.
Why don't we just put a steel and glass roof on it, like a Chicago style skyscraper? Why don't we just do that? It would be cheaper, first of all.
Okay, why don't you do that?
You know, not to belabor this point,
Scott. You're so mean, Tim Ryland.
But when Notre Dame burned, there was a great deal of discussion of the Victor Hugo novel.
Oh yeah, right.
There's a great deal, mm-hmm. And Hugo's a sort of a great writer, but also a problematic one from the Christian perspective. But nonetheless, all the things that we are drawn to in the Hugo stories, whether it's The Hunchback of Notre Dame or Les Misérables, for example, all the things that we're really drawn in there are acts of Christian charity.
Yeah, that's right.
These are not acts of pagan charity or acts of post-revolutionary man charity.
Right.
Or Enlightenment man charity or Voltairean charity.
No.
Which, no.
Good luck with that.
Yes, exactly. No, because that's all self-interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's all politics.
Charity is self-denial.
The good of another.
Yes. To desire the good of the other. Right. Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. We're saying things we're thankful for on this Thanksgiving, and the continued standing of Notre Dame Cathedral is among those things. More to come. As a matter of fact, I have something very, very big, really big.
Ooh.
Big.
Wow.
When we come back on the other side. Right back with more Thanksgiving thankses after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Prepare your heart for the coming of the Christ Child with Advent Reflections, a collection of meditations by priests and bishops from the United Kingdom and Ireland. Take a journey through Scripture to discover the deeper reality of the season with Advent Reflections, Meditations for a Holy Advent, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at Magnificat.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Thanksgiving edition. I am Cy Kellett, your host, joined in studio by Chris Check, the president of Catholic Answers, and Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine, which will have its 30th anniversary edition coming out next. And if you want to get it, go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Or if you want to give it to somebody, give a subscription to somebody for Christmas, CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. All right. I've got another one. I don't want to just keep throwing them out here unless you guys.
It's big.
It's big. The thing I am grateful for is big. You're ready?
Hit me.
Okay. The earth. I'm grateful for the earth.
It is big.
That's big.
Yeah.
It's not as big as Saturn.
No, that's true, but I'm not as grateful for Saturn.
Right.
Why not?
You can't breathe there.
I like Saturn. It clears out a lot of space debris before it can get to us. I like Jupiter for the same reason, and they're very pretty. But here's why I put the Earth on my list. It's not dying. We're going to be okay.
That is welcome news.
Yeah, and I really feel like there's particularly children are being much disturbed by media and the education establishment, and we should stop it. Stop scaring children. The earth is not dying.
So you're saying that mansion that I'm planning to build at sea level at Martha's Vineyard, it's okay. That I can proceed?
But right now, I know you're making fun of Michelle and Barack Obama when you say that. That fact that recently bought a giant mansion at sea level. Look, the sea rose considerably in the 20th century. How many people would go, the number one issue of the 20th century was sea level rise? And I'm not even one of those people who's skeptical about environmental damage. I think particularly, and I mean this, I think our use of plastics is very problematic for the planet.
And hormonal contraceptives.
Right. And so like when I see this, like the Scripps Institute scientists out here studying ocean plastics and what they're doing to the ocean, God bless them. Go for it. Figure it out, because these things are problematic. The fact that the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts in the United States in the 1970s actually gave us cleaner air and cleaner water is great. I'm in favor of that. They need that in China. They need a Clean Air and a Clean Water Act in China and India as well. So I am not at all a skeptic about the ability of human beings to clean up our messes and the danger of making messes, like putting tremendous amounts of plastic into the water. But the planet is not dying. You're going to be okay. It's not even the worst thing that's going to happen in your lifetime, environmental damage. I mean, I hate to say that as a hopeful message. Worse things are going to happen in your life on a global scale, worse than environmental degradation.
Cy, I want to express my gratitude for the Earth, but on a smaller scale.
A smaller Earth?
No. It's something that in my own life in the last year, especially, Mission Trails Regional Park, which is right here by the office here.
It is on Earth.
It is, and it's very close to Catholic Answers, to our office in El Cajon. And I think it is one of the largest parks within a city limits in the world. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of acres this park is, but there are five mountains in there. I've climbed them all. I mean, I don't know. The tallest one is 1,500 feet. There's some people listening in Colorado who are saying that's not a mountain.
It's a hill.
But in any case, it was John Sorensen about a year ago who said, you know, why don't you come hiking with me every day? Because he goes and he does Coles Mountain. Everybody here calls it Cowles.
Not me.
But it's, you call it Coles Mountain?
I call it Coles.
It's Coles because his name was Coles. He was a raisin baron.
I'm sorry, but
it says it right there on the trailhead. If you want to,
I just didn't know Raisin Baron was a thing. I'm happy for him. I'm not at all trying to insult
wait a minute.
Him, but
he
I didn't
was the,
know
he was
Raisin Baron was a thing.
He was the biggest Raisin Baron in the world.
But good for him
at the time.
Good
so
for
this
him.
Whole this El Cajon Valley where Catholic Answers is, it was grapes, mostly for raisins and also olives, right?
I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, and he died. Mr. Coles, and his wife remarried, and that man's last name was Santee.
Oh, so he renamed it.
It was supposed that area was going to be Colestown or something like that, what is now Santee. But in any case, I just want to tell you, I've climbed all five of these a bunch of times, and the Catholic Answer staff, anybody who wants to, we're going to climb all five. It's going to take all day on the 1st of January, the Solemnity of Our Lady. We're going to do five rosaries, five mountains in honor of Our Lady. It's going to take, it's about 17 miles. We're going to do this. But for me, it, personally, it's been a great gift, Mission Trails. And I get in there three or four times a week, sometimes at lunch. I used to have the headphones on. I don't do that anymore. I just listen to the rattlesnakes instead.
Yeah.
And my anxiety levels have dropped. Right. I've lost weight.
Yep.
And it's because of this park.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to the people who take care of it. I even wrote them a check.
Yeah.
And you can see, by the way, very close to my favorite mountain, which is called Quaypay, I think, which is near where Nick Chamberlain lives, is the Mission Dam that the Junipero Serra's successors, the Spanish, built when they dammed the San Diego River, first irrigation project on the Pacific coast.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I knew it's out there. I didn't know it was the first.
That provided the water for Mission San Diego. And when you go to Mission Trails, you see what San Diego would have looked like at the time when Junipero Serra arrived. So that coastal scrub or whatever they call that kind of environment, that's all what, you know, it's the live oaks.
Yeah.
There's a few trees in there that are not native. But mostly it's native trees, native plants. It's a joy.
It's my reason for putting the earth on here is I am disturbed about how fearful children are about the earth. Like, really, please stop scaring children. But also because the earth is so beautiful and magnificent.
And self-healing.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it really is. I think just a sign of the hubris of modern man to think that somehow we're going to destroy this planet in another 10 years. It's just to me, it seems patently absurd.
Yeah, it is. But I also think there's a way in which, as a Christian person, you can enjoy the earth because you know it's a gift to you from God.
Right.
That the whole thing is a gift to you.
Yeah, and the stewardship is required of us.
Right.
By our faith to be good stewards, but that doesn't mean not using plastic straws. I mean, it doesn't come down to, I think, that fine a point. But I do agree with
you. Paper straws are creepy, though. There's something creepy about them. Like,
can I just say I don't get straws at all?
My good wife, for you.
Jackie uses good. Straws. I don't know what for.
I've always
just drink
liked
out
Jackie
of the glass.
No, I use them on my Cosmopolitans.
Yeah. Yes. Drinking a Cosmopolitan through a straw. Yeah, but, you know, there has to be a way to say, yes, we love the earth and we need to preserve it and care for it. We need to care for the air and the water and the land and all that. That is not just utterly panic based. Mm-hmm. Like, right. There isn't there a way to do that without just panicking? And also, I think changing the earth is okay. Like, so many people now have gotten this idea that we just have to, like, that's the way nature made it. Don't touch it. And that's wrong. Like, I always like the example of Germany for this. Germany is physically an utterly transformed place from what it was 2,000 years ago. It is nothing like it was when the blue-faced people were living out there or whatever. I can't remember the Angles and the Saxons.
In the Teutoburg Forest?
Yeah. And all, right. Where
they beat the Romans.
Where the Romans suffered defeat there. Yeah. But Germany is nothing like that. And Germany is utterly beautiful. Hmm. Just utterly beautiful. From end to end. They drained the swamps. They cut down the forest. They cleared the land. All of this was done over the last 2,000 years. And there's nobody that would go to Germany and go, oh, man. They really messed this place up.
There might be somebody, but those are the crazy ones.
I'm told that Germans settled in Wisconsin because it reminded them of Germany.
Mm. Oh, really?
So if you've never been to Germany, but you have been to Wisconsin, then you know how beautiful it is, because Wisconsin is beautiful.
It is. Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for Wisconsin.
I was waiting for it. All right. So we're all grateful. Are we all grateful for the earth, everybody here?
The Green Bay Packers performance just a couple of days ago, notwithstanding. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that was the Green Bay Packers or it was the San Francisco 49ers just showing off because they're awful good. I thought you don't watch NFL football. I thought you were true with them.
I've watched about a game and a half this year.
You've watched a game and a half?
About altogether. Yep. I've really letting it go.
And you're out in nature seeing trees and birds and rattlesnakes. This is a problem in the modern world of people being disconnected from nature. It makes you feel worse to be disconnected from nature. It makes it harder to believe in God. It makes it harder to just be a good, calm person. We need more nature.
Amen.
All right. We've got to take a quick break. I'm going to have a couple more slices of pumpkin pie with whipped cream. And
then go for a hike.
No. Going to lie down and let that digest. We'll be right back with more what we're thankful for on Thanksgiving at Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. If you just don't understand something about the Catholic faith, Call to Communion is the show for you. Join us Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, yeah. There it is. A little bit of groovy music on this Thanksgiving Thursday. Another thing to be thankful for, Nick Check and the Dead Century. And they have a new single out. It's called Bombay Beach. You can look that up.
It's lit, man.
It's lit? Did you just say it's lit?
It's lit.
I am thankful on this day for a little bit of Southern California lingo. It is lit.
I'm thankful for Southern California. I like living here.
You didn't think you were going to, did you, when you came here?
It is a beautiful part of the world. I mean, it's full of nuts. Okay.
Like Ryland?
I'm just going to offend our listeners who listen. I mean, it's full of kooky people. Yeah. When I arrived here, I called it the land of the lotus leaf eaters.
But now you like it.
That's a reference to the Odyssey.
Yes, mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
Where people are.
Well, it's beautiful. How can you not?
It is lovely.
It is beautiful.
But there's a lot of crazy people here.
Yeah.
Or as James Taylor said famously, I need your golden gated cities like a hole in the head.
He said that?
He did say that.
I think San Diego is very different from Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. And then come world's difference to from San Francisco.
Yeah, world of difference from San Francisco. That's true.
But which San Francisco's lovely.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful city
really
that's
is.
Just corrupt to the core.
Sure is.
Morally. It's such a shame that...
Great bishop.
Yes, indeed.
Great archbishop who's coming
Speaking
with us on
of,
our cruise.
That's right.
CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
I had philosophy classes with him in college. That's how old I am.
Wait, you
we called
were...
him Sal back then. He was always smiling.
Sal.
Yeah.
He was, yeah. It's great. Wonderful.
Salvatore.
Man.
See, he's one of those guys. I was I used to work with him at the Diocese of San Diego.
Yes, I remember that.
And
I'm grateful for him. He is a great archbishop.
He's a great archbishop.
He does have a heart of a lion, by the way.
Here's the thing with him, though. Okay, so I'm working there, and then this woman comes in. She needed to see us in the office that I was working.
Uh-huh.
And she says, "Who's that priest that I was just talking to coming in there?" And I said, "That's Bishop Corleone." She did the ultimate, what a waste.
Oh my!
Because he's a very
handsome
man, very handsome man, and she was smitten. This woman, I was like, you can't say what a waste to a person who gave their life to God.
I really object when women say that. I hear that from time to time.
Yeah, I do too.
They say that about you?
No.
Oh, I was.
His wife does.
Oh, that's funny. Si.
When they say that about priests, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I got another thing to be thankful for.
Okay.
And all right, I'm just going to say it. I'm thankful for stem cell research.
Yes.
The good kind.
The good kind.
What, right? What does that mean, the good kind? What do you mean?
Well, not using fetal tissues, using our own stem cells. There's been great advancement in that technology in the last year,
so
two or three.
You're saying there's good uses of stem cell research?
I believe I am.
I thought Catholics were anti-science. I thought we've already established that. You Catholics are anti-science. I'm told that all the time.
I'm told that as well.
And you don't believe that?
No, I don't believe that at all.
Why? I think we should be against stem cell research. I'm just kidding. Yeah, because people don't make a distinction between,
that's right,
as you said, embryonic stem cells, right, and all the other kinds of stem cells that are available.
I have bad knees, and I keep hearing more and more that you take your own stem cells and inject them into joints that are, you know, arthritic, and they're having amazing success in using your own.
Most of the success they are having is with adult stem cells.
That's right.
Right. With adult stem cells that come from, that they can make now. And I remember being part of this debate because you were in Catholic media as well at the time. The embryonic stem cell, Catholics kept arguing, no, you can't kill people and take their cells. Like, that's what you're doing. And, mm-hmm. People refuse to, you know, oh, it's not people. It's not people, right, because they're very small.
Right.
Because if you're small, you're not a people. But, okay, you're killing members of the human species to take their stem cells. Don't do that. And then this scientist somewhere, I can't remember where, goes, oh, I found a new way to make these exact same stem cells, and we don't have to kill anybody. And the church was all like, yes, go ahead and do that. And all the people who were saying how anti-science Catholic, they didn't say anything. All of a sudden, they didn't say anything. It turned out that the church was doing exactly what she said she was doing. She was defending innocent life. She wasn't opposing science.
Mm-hmm.
So stem cell research shows tremendous potential for curing, curing sickle cell anemia, which is a horrible disease. It's a genetic disease, and there seems to be the potential to cure it genetically using stem cells, and a greater ability to cure cancers using stem cells. So I just wanted to say that because I am really grateful for what science is doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the scientific life of the church. Si, when we were in Rome there, we went to see San Ignacio, the great Jesuit church with the Trump Loyal on the ceiling, and also where Cardinal Bellarmine is.
I call it Trump Leroy, and my wife always tells me that's not how you pronounce
it. Yeah,
it's not Trump Leroy?
It's Trump Leroy. No, he's a rapper. Trump Leroy.
Trump Leroy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now there you threw my synapse off.
Oh,
yeah,
the
across
church.
The street from the Roman College.
Yeah.
Which at the height of the 16th century was where all great scientific pursuit was underway.
Right.
In the Galileo story, we have the mathematician, the Jesuit mathematician, Christopher Clavius, Father Christopher Clavius, who was confirming the discoveries, not denying, he was confirming the discoveries that Galileo was making with his telescope.
Yeah.
So the Jesuits especially leading the way with scientific inquiry and scientific discovery.
Well, astronomy in the 19th century was called the Jesuit science.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 19th century,
yeah,
where there was an actual scientific revolution going on, unlike the phony one that they talk about mm-hmm. earlier, right. Which wasn't a revolution. It was just progress. It was just normal progress. If you took the Middle Ages from, say, the year 1000 up to about the year 1600, what you see is steady, simple progress in science. There is no scientific revolution. That's a lie created to denigrate the great scientists of the Middle Ages. I just said it.
Yeah.
I just went for it.
Wow.
But so the Jesuit science, yeah, you're right. And this year we got our first photograph of a black hole. Somebody took a picture of a black hole. I guess you got to use color film on that. How do you – oh, you know what they – how they do it? They put a little bit of kitchen bouquet on the black hole. And then you can see it. He's leaving. He's leaving. Oh, just because we're messing with you about kitchen bouquet. I'm going to get you some.
That's for brown holes, by the way. It's not black.
Yeah. Yeah. Kitchen bouquet is
for
brown.
Brown holes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see a picture of a black hole. You think, thank God. Like, this is God's creation. This is something that Dr. Stacy Strasanko, scientist and theologian, never tires of saying. This is the handiwork of God.
That's
you should
right.
rejoice that scientists are unveiling it.
And let's not forget sort of the foundational astronomical theory of our day, the Big Bang, was come up with by
Jean-Jacques Lemaître.
That's right.
That's my French pronunciation.
Jean-Jacques Lemaître. It's almost as good as Our Lady.
Better than I could do. Yeah.
George Lemaître is the way you say it in English. But yeah, a Jesuit scientist who came up with what was called primeval atom theory.
Right.
And people laughed at him. And Einstein told him he was wrong. And turns out—
eventually.
He was right.
Looks like he was right.
It would appear that— the universe did, in fact, flash into existence at a single instant. So stem cells, black holes, any other great scientific achievements you can think of?
Kitchen bouquet.
Kitchen bouquet. Another fine one brought to you by the people who bring you Clorox. All things to be thankful for. You gave me a list of things for this program that don't seem like things to be thankful for. And I thought it was very clever the way you did that, that like there's a certain way in which there's a lot to complain about this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if we kind of turn it on its head, not by deceptively turning it on its head, but we look at it in a wider context, many of these things that people are complaining about are actually cause for thanks.
Well, I think we've touched on it. I think it falls under sort of the umbra of divine providence. There is always a flip side to things, to negative things. There's always a positive flip side. So, you know, we have a lot going on in the church that can be very discouraging. We have people who are concerned or confused by some of the things coming from the Vatican itself.
Yeah, right. Like even people who think Pope Francis is a bad pope.
Right.
How would you say there's something to be thankful for in that?
Well, I would say we have a pope. We have a Pope Francis.
Abemus Papam.
And we know who it is.
That's right.
There were times in history
where there were three contenders.
I don't know which one of these guys is the Pope. Yeah.
And by the way, good men on the different parts of the debate.
Yeah. Saints.
Yeah.
Saint Vincent Ferrer and Saint Catherine of Siena on two opposite sides of the of the Western schism. They picked two different candidates. Although St. Catherine was right.
And yet we do have a pope that can trace his succession historically down to Peter, who you spoke about so eloquently earlier.
Right.
So there's something to be thankful for, that we have a pope that makes us scratch our heads sometimes.
Yeah, even if you don't like him. There's tremendous good news.
Absolutely.
To be found there. Yeah. And if you do like him, okay, that just multiplies
even
the
better.
Good news. But I'm just talking about the people who are like, he's a bad pope.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, well. There's still a great deal to be grateful for in the papacy itself.
That's right.
In its continuity.
Right. And in the voice of the people that wells up at times like this, like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah. The old Catholic, wait a minute.
The sensum fidei, there's certainly is a real thing.
The sense of the faithful.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So, you know, not to be a Pollyanna about it, but there's always something to be grateful for when you look at things in the news that just seem negative. Look at Cardinal Pell. Be grateful for his example.
That's a good one, right? Yeah, like Cardinal Pell. You look at that and you just feel mad,
basically,
this is not right. What's happening? But then when you take a breath, you know what? The successors of the apostles suffering for the faith is a wonderful witness. This is a tremendous witness.
So here is a fact of God's providence, and it's this: God takes something evil, and He perfects it so that the outcome is better than had the evil never occurred.
Yep.
That is what people sometimes call bringing good out of evil, which is not exactly what God does.
No.
Right. He's not like, here's...
You can't say he perfects the evil. That's actually, Tim were here, he would correct me.
That's ontologically impossible to perfect evil.
But his permissive will.
But, you know, the way Chris said it is even more beautiful than the wrong way of saying it, which is he brings good out of evil, that he brings a good that's actually better than the good that would have been there had that evil not happened.
It's a great comfort.
And can you find one example of that in human history?
Sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. Well, I think I can think of a big one. Yeah, it's very big.
I just can't think of anything. Well, wait a second. Has there ever been
happened
an evil?
Around 33 AD?
All right, although let's see, if Ryland can get it. Ryland.
I want to say Jimmy Akin will probably want to give us the exact date of when it happened.
Yeah, April 22nd, 33 AD.
I can't give the exact date of the example I'm thinking of, but it was sometime very early on in human history when there was a fall.
Oh, so you're going all the way back.
Way back.
I'm going back to the Felix Culpa.
Felix Culpa, yeah.
Happy fault. Yeah.
All right, so the idea that had Adam and Eve not fallen...
There would have been no incarnation.
Well, there is some debate on that.
Yeah, there is.
But the had Adam and Eve not fallen, many mysterious goods that have happened, like, for example, the lives of the saints being what they were, they would not have been. So,
well, we do know because of the fall of man and the eventual redemption of man that now we are to be united with God in heaven.
Right, right.
Right, which was not clear to Adam and Eve.
No.
Right? They were living in a state of preternatural happiness.
Yeah.
But that's not what's awaiting us. What's awaiting us is the beatific vision.
Yes.
Yep. And that's more.
Right, but Chris was referring to a later development.
Of course,
He was talking about the crucifixion of the Lord Himself, which is unspeakably evil.
God,
immeasurably evil to kill God, worse than anything human beings have ever done. As a matter of fact, I believe it would be Thomistically correct to say worse than all the other evils humans have done, even if you added them all up, is the killing of God, and yet. What comes out of it?
Right.
Salvation of the world. A greater good than would have existed had it not happened. God is good. All right. Well, we have to take a break. We'll be right back with more stuff to be thankful for. I mean, you're going to come up with something more than Christ's sacrifice on the cross to be thankful for. I don't mean to be more thankful for, just more things that we have to be thankful for. We'll come back with Tim Ryland, editor of Catholic Answers Magazine, and Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, right after this.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said. Only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's Thanksgiving. we're sharing what we're thankful for. I am super thankful for Nick Chamberlain.
Yes, we all are. Amen.
I do not think, like, Nick runs the board here and he's the sound guy. People don't know how good he is. Like, how good he is.
Especially when there's a guest host who,
oh, really?
Who can't
like, run the phones?
Manipulate the phone.
The host can't run the phones either, let's be honest.
To myself here. Yeah, no, Nick's a lifesaver.
But he's a great musician as well.
Yes, he is.
And we do Catholic Answers Focus, you know, the podcast, Catholic mm-hmm. Answers Focus. We're going to update the music on it. And I'm just begging Nick, write the music. There's nobody that can write better music than Nick. Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Can you be on the microphone or not? Are you talented?
I can be on the microphone.
See, he can do anything.
Look at that. While he's doing the show, he can put himself on the...
Yeah, that's true.
To say nothing of when a remote goes wrong, as it did at our conference a month and a half ago.
Oh, he worked. And he did a miracle.
He just pulled something out of his hat and nobody knew.
Yeah, right. He and Darren together. Okay, yeah. So I'm also grateful, super grateful for Darren. Do you know what Darren does?
He's your boss.
He's the boss. And I'm super grateful. He has never fired me. Yeah. Not once.
Not only that, he hired you.
Well, it's true. Yeah. Darren is the guy who talked me into hiring you. It is a true story.
That's right.
I love Darren. I love him so much.
You know what he said? You know what he said about you when he was making the pitch? Because he and I went to lunch, and I'm like, have we looked hard enough? Are we really looking? Yeah, do we need this is a true story. He said, I like Cy because he has that older brother quality.
Oh, really?
Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
It is true.
I don't think he can hear us.
No, he can't hear us. He's not listening. But it is true. You do have that older brother quality. You're older than I am, aren't you?
I am older than, not Ryland. I'm not older than Ryland.
No.
But
you're still my older brother. I still look at you as my older brother.
Yeah, but probably because you've spent so much time surfing, you look good. You look like you held up. I look like somebody hurt somebody and they're still recovering from it.
I'm now falling apart. So.
But you know what else I appreciate about Darren? Can I tell you one other thing?
Yes.
He has really good ideas. And because Darren's a quiet person, you don't always realize this, but he is a very good preventer of bad ideas mm-hmm. and a very good introducer of good ideas. Let's try this. And he has to be very subtle about it, but he knows what this program is about and he does not let it get into being what it shouldn't be. Right. I love that about Darren.
Yes, and mm-hmm. and people don't realize, because you're so skilled and entertaining, how many other people are necessary to make the show work well.
That's true. I was going to mention one more.
Marie.
Assistant producer Marie. You know, she's responsible for organizing and that kind of thing, and she's just terrible at it. She's not a good organizer.
I know, she's a complete mess.
She's, and, no, I'm just kidding. No,
it was funny when she came. She has her own space now, but when she moved into the control room and kind of made that girly corner in the control room.
I know.
Yeah.
Driving Nick crazy.
She drove him totally crazy.
With her
girly corner.
With woman power. Oh, yeah. Power it had so it manly
had
around
it
here.
It had the diffuser.
Yeah, for smells. Like it was
half of my staff have these diffusers in
because
their office.
Women like things to smell good and men don't smell good. Let's just get that out there, all right?
It's the strangest. I'm grateful for diffusers and essential oils.
We have tremendous women who work here.
And is it sexist
and
to point out?
And if they want it to smell good, God bless them and let them have it smell good.
Is it sexist to point out that it's usually the women who organize things?
I mean, that's not sexist to point out.
I think it's probably
conference, Erica's the most organized person.
I'm just blown away.
Oh my gosh, Erica.
A million balls in the air at the same time.
You know the thing about Erica is she's not one of those people who's like, it's time for the conference. Everyone just leave me. You know, like she's not one of those, you know, you get those organizers who are like, I'm doing my thing now. She's like, what do you need? How can I help you?
That is
like,
true.
She's very,
she will have a list of 30 things to do before she goes home and it will be 5 o'clock. And then she will say, what do you need?
Yeah,
that is absolutely true. And someone else who's an incredible organizer who has been here at Catholic Answers, I think longer than anyone else, is Maureen North.
Oh yeah.
And she runs all of our direct response for fundraising. And that requires a tremendous amount of organization.
Yeah. You know who books flights if you have to fly somewhere, Jen.
Jen Phelps also is Maureen North's daughter.
Yeah. She's her daughter and she has her organization. She's a great organizer, but she goes on the internet and she finds a picture of an old jalopy airplane or a plane crash and sends it to me with my flight reservation every time. She goes, hey, I found your flight. And it'll be like some beat up old biplane or something. I'm like, just stop
it. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
This woman, Jen Phelps, keeps Tim Staples organized.
That's the she's a miracle worker.
Staggering.
You should have seen her in Australia keeping Tim Staples on task.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Jen prints out our organization for the day. Here's what everybody's doing. And this is what we do. Jen, what am I doing next? Jen, what's up next? And she's like, you're going here, you're going there. She doesn't get mad at us. She just keeps us on task.
There are two ladies in finance here at Catholic Answers, Fideli and Imelda.
Yeah.
And they are incredibly organized. Yep. We just finished our audit and we did beautifully. And it's because of the work of those two ladies right there. And Phil, of course. But
yeah.
But extremely organized.
This is what I love about Imelda. Imelda talks so loud.
She's
two offices down from me. And Fideli's next to me. And Fideli puts her on speakerphone. And I can
hear. So you get stereo.
No, I hear a stereo. I hear actual Imelda and then Imelda through the phone. And they're not synced up quite right.
There's a little delay.
So this is like, I'm sitting in my office working and I hear this. Have you filed it? Have you filed it? Like, it's like, oh my gosh. Yes, we got a lot of good people here.
We do.
Todd Agliolaro. He's another one to be thankful for.
Very organized also, because he manages the website, Catholic Answers Magazine online, and the whole press. And the press has grown magnificently in the last 7 years under Todd's care.
Yeah.
So much so that we outgrew our warehouse.
Yeah, right. And our warehouse is now in the Midwest somewhere.
Yep.
Or
did you know that Todd was the first intern at Catholic Answers back in early 90s?
Really?
Well, you'll learn this if you read the 30th anniversary issue.
I will read the
Catholic Answers Magazine.
I'm going to read the short part in the back. I don't know if I'm going to commit to reading the whole, all that front stuff where people have to be smart
Todd has a long history here.
I'm grateful for my assistant, Emily Sanchez, who is remarkably organized.
I'll tell you something about your assistant, Emily Sanchez.
She actually runs Catholic Answers.
No, something else in addition. She runs Catholic Answers. And then if you go to an event where Catholics are helping people anywhere in San Diego, you're like, you show up. Emily's there.
She's there. She is.
She's always there. You're like, what are you doing here? Oh, I volunteered to help. It's like, man, she's a good one.
Yeah.
We got a lot of good ones.
We do.
In here.
We have a great staff. Come visit us at 2020 Gillespie Way in El Cajon. I'll give you the tour and introduce you to the most magnificent staff in the Catholic apostolate world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, please come see us. By the way, if you don't know this, among the many other things that are true about Catholic Answers Live is we are the favorite radio program of Canadian football quarterbacks.
Yay. So
Travis.
Doug Flutie?
It was such a nice thing that he said. Doug Flutie. Oh, yeah, Doug Flutie. He was a Canadian football guy. I graduated with Doug Flutie
from
Boston College.
I knew you went to the same college.
Yeah, you didn't know I graduated, though, did you?
I did not.
Yeah, the great big cheer went up when Doug went up to get his...
I'll bet.
It wasn't so much for me.
I'm sorry.
It was a little bit lighter.
We're the favorite apologetics organization of another athlete, Trevor Williams.
Oh, Trevor Williams.
Pitcher for the Pirates.
Pittsburgh Pirates, yeah.
Right. He's been by with his beautiful wife and spent some time with us.
And they just adopted a baby, and then I think they found out she was pregnant.
I don't know if...
And her name is Jackie. She's a doll.
I don't know if Philip Rivers is a fan of ours, but I know that he and Tim Staples are friends. But
yeah,
I don't
he's
know if
a
he
big
is.
Fan.
I feel like we might have three superstar athletes.
I think there are others. We just don't know.
Really?
But, yeah.
Do you think we could count Philip
the
Rivers?
The fellow who coaches...
I'm going to count him. I don't even know. He's never told
he's
me that.
He's done stuff for us, for
oh,
sure.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to count him. I'm going to count him as he's
the fellow who coaches special teams for the Atlanta football team. Now his name is escaping me. The special teams coach for the Atlanta Falcons.
The one that whose father was a football.
I don't know.
I can't recall now.
Shula. It's not Shula.
I think so.
I don't know.
I think the younger Shula we've had some correspondence with, but you know, super famous people are our fans. I don't know if you know this. I'm going to name a few that are secretly our fans. First of all.
Secret no longer.
No, I'm gonna out them. Evo Morales, former president of Bolivia, big fan of ours. All right, I'm just making stuff up now. I'm thankful for both of you. Thank you for doing 2 hours with us.
Always a pleasure.
I'm thankful, Si, you do this 5 days a week, 2 hours a day.
Amen.
I do it 3 hours a day. They just don't play the third hour. they just make it go off after two. Thanks, Nick. You did a good job engineering the show. Thank you, everybody who listens to Catholic Answers.
Thanks to everyone who supports Catholic Answers. Amen. And you're in our prayers every day.
And go BC Lions. I am a British Columbia Lions fan now. Tomorrow, don't miss tomorrow, the first international edition ever of Catholic Answers Live.
Wow.
First international Catholic Answers Live ever tomorrow, right here in this time slot. See you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.